your Bibles out tonight, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter 1, we continue studying the subject of finances. We call it spiritual financial guidelines. Isaiah chapter 1, tonight the subject is poverty. Poverty. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about this subject of poverty. I would say to you, we have, three more lessons that we'll have on this subject, not on poverty, but on finances. Isaiah chapter 1, look at verse number 15, and then stand with me, if you will, real quickly. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 15, it says, "And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow." Let's say a word of prayer, and then we'll discuss this passage as well as many others. Father, meet with us this evening. Help us to learn something that will make us better Christians. Help us, Father, to believe the Bible. Help us to live it. Help us to cherish it. Tonight, Father, we'll study a subject that's not spoken of much, at least not scripturally. But tonight, we want your book to teach us about this important subject. So, Holy Spirit of God, control what is said and control what is heard. And may you be glorified in it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Isaiah chapter 1, the people to whom the scripture is referring, they've done terrible wrong. And God tells them that they need to clean up their evil ways. Then, if you were listening toward the end of what we read, part of what they had done wrong is they had not relieved the oppressed. And it says, you've not pleaded for the widow. What it's telling us here is part of what these people were being corrected about and part of what these people were being disciplined about was the fact that they were not helping people who suffered poverty. Now, I think we know this, but it's worth reminding us. God loves the poor. And in God's heart, there is a special place for the poor. Now, so you know, I don't think there's any class system with God. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 2 says, "The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is maker of them all." So understand, the human race can develop that we develop our own opinions about certain things. When God refers to the poor, he's talking about someone that maybe does not have as much as somebody else, but he is not classifying them. He's not trying to cast a shadow on them. He's just merely saying someone that has a little less than you, you ought to care about them and care about that. So in the Bible, you don't see a class system. I think one of the greatest things that you and I can do for the poor is to win them to Jesus Christ. I mean, if you suffered poverty on this earth to go to heaven and to get a mansion and to have the riches of His glory in heaven, would be fantastic. Listen to Matthew chapter 11, verse 5. It says, "The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them." And this is in reference to there was something fantastic happening, and someone said, "What's going on here?" And they said, "Boy, all these things are happening. The lame can walk, the blind can see, the deaf can hear, and the poor are receiving the gospel." You know, those things that what we call miracles, you know, the blind receiving sight, the lame walking, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hearing, the dead being raised. Those are fantastic miracles. But God said, the poor hearing the gospel, that's a miracle. Salvation is the greatest of all miracles. You know, If you were blind and you had a choice to either get your sight back or get born again, let me recommend that you choose getting born again, because that will take care of your sight for all eternity. Now, one of the proofs of true Christian love is helping the poor. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" So here the Bible's saying, when you know that there is somebody out there and they're impoverished and they have need, and you don't show compassion and you don't try to help them, God's saying you're sending a signal that you don't love and you don't have the love of God in you. And the Bible even tells us we should never mock the poor. What's that mean? We should not tease the poor. Proverbs 17:5 says, "Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker." So, may I say, young people, if you ever meet somebody that's poor, you should not mock them. You should not tease them. If you meet a little boy or a little girl or a teenager that they don't have as nice clothes as what you have, and they don't have some of the things that you have, and they don't live in the kind of home in which you live, that's not something that you should tease them about. That's not something that you should mock them about. God warns, when you do that, God takes that personally. You say, "But preacher, I wouldn't be teasing God." God said, when you mock them, you're mocking him. It said, "Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker." Who's our maker? It's a heavenly Father. He is the one that created us. Let me tell you this also. I think the Bible even teaches that the poor should be good to the poor. I think, you know, so many concepts in the Bible are not there just for the successful. They're there for everybody. And so I think the poor should be good to the poor. We're all to think that way. Now, let me make some statements tonight about the subject of poverty. First of all, point number one is this. God's blessing is available for all people. God's blessing is available for all people. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. God makes salvation available to everybody, and it's the same way. It's a free gift. I think the Bible's real clear. If we put energy into something, there will be reward. And that's for everybody. That's not limited to a few. It doesn't matter how much money we have. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter where we live. If you work hard, you'll be rewarded. And that is just a basic concept of the Bible. God developed and made life that way. So God's blessing is available for all his people. I'm going to read to you, about five verses. You listen real carefully. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 4 through 9. Listen to this. It says, "Save when there shall be no poor among you. For the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thy hand from the poor brother, but thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need, and that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in the wicked heart, saying, the seventh year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be a sin unto thee." Now, a lot of scripture there, but let me just make a couple of comments about that scripture. At the beginning of that scripture, God was saying, I'm not putting a premium on poverty. See, God is willing to bless anybody. He's willing to bless anybody. Did you know that God does not require anyone to be poor? Now, God knows that there will always be poor people, and he speaks much about our attitude toward them. For instance, John 12:8 says, "For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." So here God is saying, You're always going to have poor people. They're always going to be there. Now, does that mean that you have to be poor? No. Does that mean I have to be poor? No. Does that mean anybody has to be poor? No. But God just knows there will be poor people. Hey, did you know that anybody can get saved if they want to? Anybody can get saved if they want to. Will everybody get saved? No. So there will be some that will not receive the free gift of salvation. And that's not God's fault. God wasn't saying, I'm sending you to hell and I'm sending you to heaven. That is not the way the Bible works. The Bible is very clear. Anybody that wants to get saved can get saved. And God also, in regard to what we'll call blessings, God will bless anybody that would meet the prerequisites for blessing. So God does not make anybody live impoverished, but he knows there will be poor people. So the poor are not forced to be poor, and no one is destined to poverty, but many will find themselves in poverty. God makes that clear. So, number one, God's blessing is available for all of his people. Number two, failing to give properly will cause poverty. So if you and I don't give, if we're not charitable, if we don't give like we're supposed to give, it could cause us poverty. Poverty can be caused by keeping, not by giving. You say, that sounds backwards. Well, God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher. And God thinks in a way that we don't think. With God, the way up is down. And so failing to give and give properly can cause poverty. Let me read a verse. Many of you have heard it before. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Now that verse is about if you and I give to the Lord like we're to give, he will rebuke the devourer. What's that mean? If we give to the Lord like we're supposed to, then he's going to keep us from suffering loss and from poverty coming to our finances. Okay? Listen to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 27. "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." So God's saying, when you and I see an impoverished person, if we won't help them, God said, we're going to hurt ourselves. But when we help the poor, we will not lack. I'm a firm believer when we give to missions, we're helping impoverished people. God will bless that kind of a church. God will bless that kind of a church. Just recently, we were talking about the Bahamas and the hurricane that came through, Hurricane Dorian, and the devastation there. And here I'm going to announce to you all a church, and we're going to raise some money, and we're going to send some money to help. And if you've seen the devastation that came upon that country and those people, it's just terrible. And by our helping those people that are in that poverty-stricken situation, God will bless us. So we take up money and give it to them. What's that going to do? That's going to make it so God increases us. And I know that's not how the world thinks, but that's how God thinks, and that's how God has it set up. Listen to Proverbs 11:24. It says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty." What's it talking about? It's talking about when we withhold, when we could have been a blessing to someone, but we're not a blessing, that is going to bring poverty on us. See, God blesses giving, not keeping. So I said, number one, God's blessing is available for all his people. Nobody is destined to poverty. Number two, failing to give properly will cause poverty. Number three, there are things that can cause poverty and throughout the scripture, and I want to teach some of those things. Now, just a moment ago, I told you if you don't give, it'll cause poverty. Hey, and maybe before I go to point number three, you remember at the introduction of the sermon, I told you even people in poverty need to be good to people in poverty. You say, why? Giving is the way out. Giving is the way out. Not taking, giving. Because God said, when you give to someone that's poor, I'm going to bless you. That means if a poor person will learn to be good to other people, God will bless them because they gave. So God doesn't just bless people with money because they gave money. God will bless people that don't have much that will give. Proof and fact. How about the widow and her two mites? That's all she had. She went down in history for being the big giver. And what did she do? She didn't have much, but she gave. That wasn't a rich person giving. That was a poor person giving. And God complimented that. So I think sometimes we think, because I don't have much, I don't have to give. I don't think we're to give on the basis of how much we have. I think we're to give on the basis of what we are. And that ought to be that we love people and that we want to give. All right, let's move on. Number three. I'm going to give you a little list of things that the Bible teaches will cause poverty. What causes poverty? First of all, failing to receive instruction will cause poverty. Listen to this verse. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 18 says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. So God said, when we refuse instruction, it's going to bring poverty. Let me make a very simple application. Everybody in the United States of America is given the opportunity to get an education. Now, if they do not receive the education that's given to them, in other words, if they won't study, if they won't pay attention, if they won't go to school, they're probably going to find themselves impoverished because they won't get the education they need to succeed. So the scripture says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. This is simple, but it's true. Boys and girls, mom and dad are trying to teach you. Now, if you're not careful and you won't learn from mom and dad, you're going to suffer loss in life. I don't know any other way to say it. You won't have as much. You say, why? You didn't learn what you needed to learn to get it. So learn from mom and dad. Learn at school. You say, oh, what's a big deal studying math and science and English? Well, somebody's going to need to support you. And in this society, you learn those things to support yourself. And if you're not careful, you're going to reject instruction, and that will bring poverty in your life. It is a scriptural concept. It's not just something that we're taught socially in America. It's biblical. So, failing to receive instruction causes poverty. Next, failing to receive correction causes poverty. Failing to receive correction causes poverty. The very same verse, Proverbs 13, 18, I'm going to read the first half of it, and then the second half is where the principle is from which I'm getting what I just said. It says, poverty and shame shall come to him that refuseth instruction, but that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Now there's the word reproof. What's it attached to? It says here, somebody is going to have poverty. If they won't receive instruction, that's the point I made a moment ago. Now it's talking about people that will not regard reproof. What's reproof? Reproof is correction. So, young people, again, mom and dad try to correct you, discipline you, and you won't listen. That'll cost you somewhere someday. If you can learn how to take reproof well, you could do very well in life. I look around and I see people that manage others and foremen and things like that. Let me tell you, I've had many a person work for me that would not let you correct them. Well, you don't get raises that way. In some cases, you won't stay employed that way. You get in trouble that way. Could I recommend this? When the police officer tries to correct you, it might be wise that you let him do it. Or you could be impoverished. If you've never said yes, sir, to anyone in your life, I'd take that moment and use it. A little dignity and a little respect. Why? The Bible teaches when we can't receive correction, that's going to bring poverty to us somewhere along the way. So young people, let mom and dad correct you because they're trying to instruct you, and that correction is going to, I believe, is going to help you financially someday. Let me go on. What else causes poverty? Sleeping too much. Sleeping too much. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13 says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. You will not succeed when you're asleep. Oh, you do need the right amount of sleep. But that's not what this is teaching. This is teaching about one that loves sleep. Somebody that sleeps too much. Okay, if you oversleep and you don't get to work on time. And may I say, if you oversleep, you don't get to school on time. What happened? Well, you didn't get the instruction that you need to get. So here the Bible's talking about if we love sleep, then that will bring poverty our way. Let me give you something else. If we will not work hard, a lack of hard work will bring poverty in our life. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 23 says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. And so there's a correlation, or there's a comparison going on here. It's telling you that if you'll labor, that you'll increase, and if you don't, you won't increase. You'll suffer loss. I am 100% convinced. In the United States of America, if you'll work hard, you will succeed.
Yes,
I think it's a promise from God. You say, well, I don't think my boss knows. I think God knows. I can tell you this. I've worked in a couple situations where I honestly worked my tail off, and I don't think my boss knew it. But I happen to believe God is keeping the records. And I think that there was a time not long after where another boss came along and said, I notice. And I had a few blessings along the way that were totally unexpected. And to be honest with the particular boss, maybe a little bit unearned. But I think God was keeping the records. And God said, Jeff, I'll bless you today, because I watched back then when that human didn't see how hard you were working. I was keeping track. And today's payday. You see, we're so atheistic in the way we do things. Truth of the matter is, if you have the right attitude, you're going to work hard because God said to. You work hard because God's the ultimate boss. And so, just that little handful of things are ways or things that cause poverty. The Bible says failing to receive instruction will bring poverty. Failing to receive correction will bring poverty. Sleeping too much will bring poverty. If we won't work hard, it'll bring poverty. And of course, point number two was about stinginess, or us not giving right. Causes poverty. All right, let's go on. Number four. Poverty that could be corrected but is not corrected will bring destruction. Poverty that could be corrected that is not corrected will bring destruction. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 15. It says this. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. Listen to the last part of the verse. It says, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. God didn't destine anyone to poverty. I think that verse is telling us, don't use poverty as an excuse for laziness. Don't use poverty as an excuse for laziness. Hey, staying poor when you could have helped yourself is self-destruction. Let me say it again. Staying poor when you could have helped yourself is self-destruction. Now, not everybody's listening to what I'm preaching tonight, but everybody in this room is. Young people, let me tell you something. You can say, I don't have much. And if you're not careful, the plan will be to stay right there. Look, God will bless anybody that will do what they're supposed to do. God's not, you say, oh, God's, You're God's pet. There are no God's pets. There are people that are blessed for doing what God said. They're obedience pets, if you will. So, look, if you could solve your problem, but you won't solve your problem, it's a self-inflicted problem. And in America, once again, everybody gets an education. Everybody's given the chance to get the instruction and the correction, but the verse said the rich man's wealth is his strong city, but the destruction of the poor is their poverty. And that's where we say, I could, but I won't. I'm stuck here. You're not stuck there. Sigmund Freud said that we were a product of our environment. I don't believe that. Because you can live in the worst environment and get born again and pick yourself up with the help of God and go become something. People do it all the time. They do it all the time. I've watched people that were rich and reared well that ended up in the gutter. So they were not a product of their environment. I've watched people that were all the way at the bottom get saved and do right and go succeed. I love those success stories. You're not a product of your environment. You're a product of your obedience. And you remember that statement. What'll make you or break you is, will you do what you're supposed to do or will you not do what you're supposed to do? That'll make you or break you in life. Let's go on. Number five. Poverty can strengthen one's faith. Poverty can strengthen one's faith. James chapter 2, verse number 5 says this, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith?" I love that. Rich in faith. I think sometimes people that have little can have great faith. That is, if they want to have great faith. Let me tell you, every once in a while, those of you that are a little more successful, when you start suffering loss, a little loss might strengthen your faith. When you have plenty, you're not so desperate for God. But when you don't have plenty, sometimes you've got to live by faith a little bit. We don't want to live by faith. We want to make sure that we have everything we need for our comfort. Nothing wrong with that, but I would tell you this. I guess, Mrs. Owens, I'm going to guess our faith has been strengthened incredibly through the years. Because there are many times we just didn't have what we needed. You know what? Every once in a while, not having what you need may make you remember who gives it all to you. Hey, when you don't know how you're going to do it and you got to really pray. When your back's up against the wall and you're saying, there ain't no way out of this without God. Oh, God. And he's thinking, look, I've been giving you everything all along. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see you need me again. But the Bible teaches here that the poor sometimes are rich in faith. I have met some people that didn't have much, and I was almost embarrassed on how strong their faith was. Oh, God will take care of it. God will take care of me. God will meet my need. And I'm thinking, wow. Now, sometimes maybe poverty causes someone to become strong. Well, I don't know. Could you say this? I would rather be poor and have great faith and be rich and be self-dependent and faithless. Now, I believe this. I think that you could have a lot and still have faith in God because God's no respecter of persons. Matter of fact, I think if you had a lot and you kept your faith in God, God could trust you with more. But I wonder if sometimes God does not retract some blessings because we're not living by faith. We're living by sight. But poverty can strengthen one's faith. So if you ever say, God, strengthen my faith. Get ready. He may retract some stabilities so you depend on Him. But there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Let me go on. This is what we've said thus far. Number one, God's blessings are available for all His people. Number two, failing to give properly will cause poverty. Number three, I said failing to receive instruction, correction, reproof, sleeping too much and a lack of hard work all will cause poverty. We said number four, poverty that could be corrected, but that is not corrected brings self-destruction. Number five, poverty can strengthen one's faith. Number six, God tells us to care for the poor. He tells us to care for the poor. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 and 10 says, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. So they were harvesting, and God said there's going to be a little leftover of the harvest, and meet the needs of the poor people. And you might find this hard to believe, but this is what I believe. I think probably God gives all of us more than what we need. He probably gives all of us more than what we need so that we could have a little bit to give away. He's saying when you're reaping, you're going to have a little more than what you need, so make sure that you help the poor with it. So it tells us that those that reap should share their blessing. 1 Timothy 6:18 says, "They that do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." The words ready to distribute means completely prepared to quickly act on behalf of someone that has less than you. So God's saying we ought to watch out for the poor. We ought to try to meet the needs of the poor. Let me go on. Number 7. God promotes a special blessing for those that help the poor. A special blessing for those that help the poor. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9 says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." So God is saying, and when he says we'll be blessed, he said, there's an extra blessing. He said, when you give to the poor, there's going to be a blessing. He mentions bread here. I think it's important to feed people that are hungry. Now, you've heard me say this before, and you may do what you wish. If I find somebody and they're begging, I'm very careful not to give them cash money. I don't want them to go and buy alcohol. I don't want them to go buy cigarettes or drugs, but I'm more than willing to buy them a meal. I would say, and Mrs. Owens, probably in the last 2 weeks, I've probably bought 9 meals for people I don't know. It wasn't just a few days ago, there were a couple of people probably in their 90s that were just, they could barely walk. And I watched them struggle to get into a restaurant. My heart just broke for them. And I tell you what really broke my heart. I was watching them eat. And I could tell they were just hungry. And I called the waitress over and I said, "You just give them everything they want and anything they want. And I'm going to pay their bill." She said, "That's very kind of you." I said, "I have a very kind father." But listen, feeding the hungry is a part of what Christians are supposed to do. But there's a blessing in it for us. Now let me read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10 and 11. It says, "Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to the poor, and to the needy in thy land." Here God said, open your hand. Don't be greedy. Open your hand to the poor. He said up here, he said, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved. In other words, willingly give. I think God is also talking about there being an emotional blessing when you give to the poor. I think people that are good to struggling people, I think God blesses them with some emotional stability. I think God is saying, I want to bless you and I can help your emotions. Well, at least I can tell you this. Here in Deuteronomy 15, verse 10 and 11, I believe when you give to the poor, it'll make you feel good. I thrill at it. You can go do what you want to get high. Helping people is a high that is just incredible. And when you help somebody and you really feel like you've helped them, God is saying here, open your hand wide and he'll bless you for it. Now, let me go on. Number 8, giving to the poor is equal to making a loan to God himself, and he will pay you back with interest. Let me say it again. Giving to the poor is equal to making a loan to God, and he himself will pay you back, and I think with interest. Listen to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. It says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Wow. When you're good to the poor, it's like lending to God. Then it says, and that which he hath, that which he hath given, will he pay him again. In other words, God said, when you're good to the poor, you're lending to me, and God said, I'll pay it back. And I happen to know how God is. God always pays back with interest. Everything God does, he multiplies it. So that means when you give to the poor, it's almost like God came to you and said, hey, lend me $10. And when you give that poor person some food, God said, thanks for the loan. I'm going to make sure you're blessed for that. I'll get you paid back. You're going to find money in your account. Hey, you're going to be blessed and taken care of. Listen, if you say, well, I gave that money to that poor person, I lost it. Oh, you didn't lose it. You just loaned money to God, and in the heavenly bank account, he's going to repay. Let me go on. Number 9, ignoring or hurting poor people is taken very personally by God. Matter of fact, God says when you ignore or hurt the poor, you're hurting me. Let me read to you. We read this earlier, but it's worth mentioning. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31, it says this, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. Now, part of what that means is you embarrass God. Your God, your Savior, your Heavenly Father, you're bringing reproach to him. You're virtually embarrassing him when you oppress the poor. God's saying, look, Christianity's all about others and doing good for others. He said, when you, as a Christian, oppress, hurt, ignore, deny the poor, he said, that hurts me. It says, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. God said, you want to honor me? Be good to the poor. God said, you want to embarrass me? Oppress the poor. Take advantage of the poor. Instead of giving to the poor, take from the poor. Let me read to you Proverbs 29:7. It says, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. So here God said, don't ignore them. Don't ignore them. Let me give you a couple more points. Listen to number 10. It is better to be poor and right with God than to be rich and wicked. I said it is better to be poor and right with God than to be rich and to be wicked. Listen to Proverbs 28:6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Look, there are poor people who come to church and ought to be more respected than the rich people that stay home. Respect isn't based on how much money you have. Respect ought to be based on how you treat God. And if you're poor and you treat God right, there's respect. If you're rich and you disrespect God, there's a disrespect that's coming your way. I would rather be poor and spiritual than rich and worldly. But do you all know that the philosophy out there in the world, that's not how it is. They look down on those poor religious people. The truth is, God says, you rich, wicked person, you're the one that's not right. The rich look down on the poor, and often, you even look in the political arena, that lower level, the those of you that are miserable Christians, well, I've got news for you. God doesn't see it that way. So I said this, it is better to be poor and right with God than to be rich and wicked. Number 11, pure religion includes giving to poor widows and the fatherless. Pure religion includes giving to poor widows and the fatherless. So you know, frequently when the word religion is used in the Bible, it's a negative thing. Religion has a certain emptiness and a hollowness and a fraud to it. Now he's talking that there is a thing called pure religion. And that's the kind of religion you and I want, the pure religion. And here I said pure religion includes giving to poor widows and the fatherless. Let me read to you from James 1:27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And it goes on and says, and keep himself unspotted from the world. What's it talking about? Meeting the needs of the widows, meeting the needs of the fatherless. And that's a bit of a description of those that are impoverished. They don't have the kind of income that they need. Now, I am a firm believer in the bus ministry. You say, why? That's what we do. We go out and we look for those kind of people to meet their needs and to love on them. I believe that there are those that their family situation's not good, and because of it, they do without. What are we going to do? We're going to try to meet the need of those people. And God blesses that. I believe this. If you invest and you say, well, I've got money in the stock market, and I put a little money in gold, and I put a little money in silver, and I've got my 401k, and I'm maxing out my IRA. If you would like a little advice about your portfolio, I would recommend that you invest in the widow and the fatherless. Now, again, the way we do that around here is through our bus ministry. We're very hard about that. But I got to tell you, pure religion, if you want to be blessed, right there is a great investment. And that is meeting the needs of those that are afflicted that he just described. Let me give you one more point. Number 12. Jesus personally identified with the poor. Jesus personally identified with the poor. Let me read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9. It says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." What an example Jesus set for us. He was rich. In other words, he was in heaven with the Heavenly Father, and he became poor. He came down here, and he died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us. And because he was rich, but he gave up his riches to become poor, to save us, the Bible says. And we become rich because of his poverty. So his poverty was when he came from the Heavenly Father down to this sin-cursed world, and they spat upon him and plucked his beard and mocked him and crucified him. He went through all that. Why? So you and I could get born again. And as John 14 tells us, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man, that which God hath prepared for them that love him." Hey, I get to be rich because of his poverty. But where did that come from? He was rich and he gave, and there was a poverty, but that poverty resulted in somebody else becoming rich. Jesus set the perfect example. He had it all. If you will, he gave it up so we could have it all. But he didn't lose. And you know what? When you give, you've not lost either. You've not lost either. Because, you know, really, you can't take anything with you when you die. It's how much are you sending ahead? How much are you sending ahead? I do not believe that God puts a premium on poverty. I don't think that. I think God said, "I'll bless anybody that would like blessing." God is honor bound to do that. But he did say, not everybody will receive that opportunity. And because they won't, let's be good to those that don't. I think God knows exactly what he's doing. You talk about somebody that understands economy. The heavenly economy is 100% full force and profitable.